Well, hello there, everybody, and thank you, Elder Bob. I love your songs. I don't have what you have, so it's really good to hear something different, and I'm starting to get used to them. So praise His holy name. And thank you again for the opportunity, brothers and sisters, to lead out, just simply introduce songs and the Bible reading we're about to take part in, and to gain a rich blessing by believing it for ourselves today. I mean, for those who don't know, Brother Mosen was released when he was said, Brother Joel has just shared, and I think we're in the most appropriate book in the Bible, the Book of Acts, where a number of imprisonments took place because the Word of God was preached in its fullness and without fear. I can only imagine what Brother Mosen is like in person, and praise God's holy name for this. So good morning and good evening, and welcome everyone. And for those who may be listening to the recording in the future, thank you so much for doing so. We love feedback. It's one of my favorite words. Well, let's start with the opening song, which is In a Little While. And for those who would like to sing along or sing online, please put your bubble up. Let us sing a song that will cheer us by the way. In a little while we're going home, for the night will end in the everlasting day. In a little while we're going home, in a little while, in a little while. We shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past.
We will do the work that our hands may find to do. In a little while we're going home. And the grace of God will our daily strength renew. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. Praise the Lord.
We will smooth the path for some weary, way-worn feet. In a little while we're going home. And may loving hearts spread around an influence sweet. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, we shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home.
There's a rest beyond, there's relief from every care. In a little while we're going home. And no tears shall fall in that city bright and fair. In a little while we're going home. In a little while, in a little while, We shall cross the billows foam. We shall meet at last when the stormy winds are past. In a little while we're going home. It's true. And you know, as we're singing this and you forget everything in the world, you really start to think you're there already. Where it's a well of the everlasting life is welling up like a spring that starts when we accept Jesus as our Savior. Amen. Well, I hope you've all had having a successful week, and look forward to praying and talking with you and discussing interesting things in the book of Acts. But before we start, let's open with prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of having a voice to sing the joy of thy salvation that's in Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is making a living reality to each and every one of us. Thank you so much for the good news, Jesus, that we can enjoy, that it is really a little time in comparison with eternity, and that no matter what happens in this life, if we have such tribulation and, you know, have a most difficult time in this world, that we will have an even better resurrection, whatever we've suffered physically and mentally. And we thank you that you give us the reward now of believing, because no man can take it from us, because you've lodged it in our hearts. And we pray that meeting together like this would be a blessing, that it would go deeper in our hearts. It would be etched there, the truth as it is in Jesus, that the new covenant experience might be ours in writing it on our hearts, the tables of flesh, and remove any hardness of stone, so that we can enjoy more light, believing that the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And Holy Spirit, please be present here, leading out, taking control of us and our minds, and using our faculties to the glory of the true God and Jesus Christ, who he has sent, and you, the one that sanctifies us, a real being and the third member of the Godhead. We want to thank you so much for allowing our brother Mosen to get out when he did. It is your timing and just the amount he was in. I'm sure he has so many testimonies to share what took place in prison, and we look forward to hearing from him either firsthand or secondhand. Thank you for causing this witness to speak to SDA and non-SDA alike. And we pray this event will not leave their memory, but will convict them of what is truth by the living out of the principles that our dear brother is by Christ Jesus and his grace. Also, thank you for the blessing of knowing that souls are deciding for Christ, and those have gone so far as to be baptized. We ask that you'll continue to be with them, moving upon their souls, to that it's just begun, and for those who are considering becoming baptized, that the devil won't be allowed to snatch away the truth that has convicted them, a great need for being baptized. And that they would see our faithful brothers and sisters as best friends that they can confide in for help and strength in affairs that face them as they seek to come out of the world. And thank you for blessing them so many times, our brethren and sisters, working out there in seeing souls enjoy Jesus Christ themselves, for themselves, inside their own hearts. We appreciate having eyesight to see it and ask for spiritual eyesight to discern the opportunities that yet await all of us in our various circumstances. We also ask while we meet online that you would protect the carriers of the internet, and if there are any fallouts, that they won't last long. And please continue to help the social media network and the websites and the precious brothers and sisters using the internet to witness for your truth, to continue to stand as a monument of what God does with technology to the advancement of his kingdom. And thank you for doing this. We pray these things and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, hello, brethren and sisters again. Well, last week we were discussing in the book of Acts. We were almost at the end of chapter 13, and we were discussing how the Spirit of God accompanied the words that were spoken by the Apostle Paul, and hearts were touched. The appeal that Paul made to the Old Testament prophecies and his declaration with power that these had been fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth carried conviction to many a soul, both Jew and Gentile, longing for the advent of the promised Messiah. And we can imagine how deeply and how long the Jews were hoping for the long Messiah, considering the 1500 years that they existed. The glad tidings of salvation were for Jew and Gentile alike, and if we were a Jew or a Gentile, which really it's not hard for us to imagine, but we are this, because of course I don't know if any of you are Jew, literally, but for those of us that aren't, this is for us, and it's written for us. And Paul also said, and shared in verses 46 and 47, of the book of Acts, chapter 13, that then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And Hosea had said, Hosea chapter 1 verse 10 and chapter 2 verse 23, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. And again, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God. And our Lord Jesus told us in the parable, in chapter 21 of Matthew, it's recorded, verse 43, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And of course that shocked the people that were listening, and they answered the question of Jesus when he said, what do you think he'll do to them? And they agreed that he would miserably bring them to naught. Did Paul and Barnabas, I just want to ask a question before we start our reading. Did Paul and Barnabas cease laboring for the Jews and elsewhere when this was declared, do you think, in verses 46 and 47 and Hosea 1 and chapter 2? Or did they still, no way, amen, no, they didn't. They didn't, and although the corporate probation for the Jews as a nation had taken place, which is in fulfillment of the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, the 3.5 days, which are interpreted as years when speaking prophetically, The individual's salvation, probation, that certainly hadn't closed. And wherever there was a favourable opportunity, indeed, they did labour. The same today, it is, isn't it? It's the same today for us today, you know? When those who have had the most light and rejected it and corporate probation is closed upon them, we are still to work for these precious individuals because not only does God love them, but God provides opportunities and we keep coming across them. Do you notice? It's always our privilege to share with everyone and share even when appropriate that corporate probation even applies to the church that God has used in the past. And if they don't match up, if they're producing fruits of Babylon, then we have to ask ourselves, does that message apply to us to come out of her, my people? And he did for Paul and Barnabas and for the Jews in Iconium, Thessalonica, Corinth, Ephesus and other important centres. Jews were one to the true gospel. But their chief energies were among peoples who had little or no knowledge of the true God and his son. And when you think about the Gentiles who were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, Ephesians chapter 2:12, what joy must have been theirs as believers, Paul, Barnabas and all those laboring with them, to give to these dear souls that were in the majority, who were sometimes far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is us, isn't it? We're those believers today. We have the early Christian church continuance by God's grace. We have the everlasting gospel. And so we can see why they were happy and joyful, as we'll read, with the Holy Spirit, because they had the truth which the Holy Spirit had inspired. Well, we go from here we're starting at verse 50. And thank you, Elder Bob, for setting this all up. I appreciate, again, offering this opportunity. It's not every day you get to talk to people of like faith. And it's a real privilege, especially when you're going out in the world thereafter on the same day. Really good. Well, would someone like to read verses 50, 51, and 52?
But the Jews stirred up the devout and honourable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost.
Amen, sister. Thank you very much. You're clearly reading that. Before we go on, I think there's a question in the room. I wonder if the tradition-bound Jews ever wondered where the disciples of Christ and Christ himself got all their information. And I would have to say, from my understanding, they realized, amen, Elder Bob, another comment, how hath this man this knowledge, having not attended the school of the rabbis? He was homeschooled, just like John the Baptist. And I'm thinking, they knew that these people had the truth, both John and Christ and those that he trained and anointed. And they would have to be led to the Old Testament. Of course, that's all they had to be led to, and Christ often used the Old Testament. That's what I would understand. Does anyone else have anything to share? I've only found Christ and the apostles, including John, of course, the Baptist, the herald of the Saviour, were using. And this just didn't agree. Maybe I misunderstood your question too, of course. Feel free to, anyone have any comments regarding this?
Well, I know that the Jewish priests were quite amazed that Christ would be able to have such explicit knowledge of the scriptures, having never attended the school of the rabbis. But after Christ ascended to heaven and he was no more physically there among the disciples, they also recognized that the disciples had been with Jesus because they were also unlearned men according to their standards. But yet they were able to bring forth the truth in such crystal clarity, just like Christ was able to. And I imagine the same amazement is with the various established church leaders today when laymen go out, having never attended this, you know, the modern universities or modern school of the rabbis, and yet they have such a knowledge of the scriptures that only the Holy Spirit could rightly impress upon their hearts and bring back to their minds, their memories, just at the right time. And, you know, even young children that have spent time in the scriptures, although not as long as the adults have, but even young children will be able to have a tongue of the wise given them by the Holy Spirit just at the very moment they need it, that none of their enemies will be able to gainsay. So, you know, being filled with Christ and with the Spirit, we'll be able to confound the most learned so-called doctors of divinity or theologians or whatever you may want to classify individuals that profess to have great knowledge and wisdom of the Bible or of religion. And praise God for that promise that he will never leave us or forsake us and will indeed give us at the very moment the words to say for just.
Amen. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Just going to comment that the questions that the disciples and Christ when he was here on earth asked were so piercing, and it made the people they were asking the questions of just stop and they're confounded. They had to look at their whole life, and it really pointed out that they saw themselves as they really were, no bar.
Amen. Amen, brother and sister. I think it's interesting that Jesus and John the Baptist and the disciples, they weren't doing what the learned men were doing, and that was looking to learned men, where their commentaries were becoming to be seen as more important than the revealed will of God, which was never God's design. And it's commented more than once in the Gospels, isn't it, that Christ spoke as one having authority. Now, of course, we know Jesus is the Savior, but we're looking at it from their unbelieving point of view. When the scriptures say that and state that, it's as if it's saying he actually knew what he was talking about. He wasn't looking to this rabbi or that rabbi, not to put anyone down, but he was using the scriptures, and he was using it just in the way that it was meant to be used. He was using it, quoting from it, and not putting his own interpretation on it, because he knew the Bible's interpretation. He was bringing out the right word in due season.
Amen. And one of the ways that the rabbis were teaching is they would give several different explanations to the text that they read, but they wouldn't state which one was correct. So it was like they were just throwing out there a bunch of possibilities, and often they conflicted with each other, and they allowed the people to pick and choose which one they wanted. But when Christ spoke the truth, he was right to the point. There wasn't any doubt where the truth was. He didn't give them several options to choose from. He went right to the root of the matter and brought forth the truth in crystal clarity. And so that's why the scriptures mention that Christ taught them with authority and not as the Jews did. So we're to be of the same way. We're to present the truth in crystal clarity, uphold, you know, the light of Christ, glorify him, and let the people know where the truth lies.
a very interesting point you've brought up. You know, giving a few options. And it's interesting. We could imagine with what you just shared out above, it would have been things that were of most great import. And you've got an option. Oh, well, you can go this way and, or you can go that way. Or it could be this one. It's not something that's not controversial. It's not something that's not salvation. It may have been about, salvational issues. And it reminds me of today, you know, I'm not picking on the SDAs, but the SDA denomination, where there's this belief that they don't take a stance on the nature of Christ. And would we say it's quite salvational to understand this, or it doesn't really matter? You could believe, you know, he had the nature of Adam before the fall, or you can believe that it was after the fall, and there's various shades of these beliefs, of course. But do you think there's a similarity with what you just shared out above, this option for people to believe, and it doesn't really matter what you believe. I've heard ministries say they don't take a stance publicly just in case people will, disregard their ministry, which doesn't sound like a godly attribute, because they're afraid what other people will think of them. Often it's claimed if you believe that Christ is without sin and he condemned sin in sinful flesh, people start thinking you're running around thinking you're perfect, you're self-righteous, when the reality is we are so fallen. We admit that Christ can give us victory because he knows what it's like to be one of us. He knows what it's like to walk in our shoes. Except the sin part, that he has borne our sins if we'll only let him, and work in our life the transformation that will suit the Christian's calling, which the early Christians gave a witness to by their own blood. How interesting. Thank you for those points that you've brought up. You know, in verse 51, they shook off the dust. That was actually in obedience I'm sure you probably already knew from the Lord's command in Matthew chapter 10 verse 14, that it was done against unbelievers and bitter Jews. The very dust of the streets was unclean to the apostles by doing that symbolic act because of the rejection of the gospel that they proclaimed. The Jews continue to do so, that they believe in a Messiah that hasn't come yet. It's also interesting where Sister Lucy started, that it was the devout and honourable women. We could assume here, I mean, it's an assumption, that that's probably women of rank. So it was people at least in middle class, possibly upper class, who weren't really satisfied with the higher, that weren't satisfied with the Greek and Roman society's way of life. And seeing the Jewish understanding of true piety from the scriptures, of course, they perhaps were the Jews had a certain considerable power or influence among them. Perhaps they were trying to seek to get these women to get their husbands to be influenced to help put this word down that these dear souls, the apostles and disciples, were putting forth. Perhaps they were also afraid that their own church would come to naught. Like it was said about Jesus, it's better than one supper.
Amen. I find it interesting here that it was the Jews that stirred up, or in other words, spread around malicious lies and false interpretations of the words that Paul and Barnabas spoke, that they were the chief instigators of this persecution being raised against Paul and Barnabas. But it says they not only stirred up the devout and honorable women, but they went especially to the chief men of the city. That would be the governmental leaders of that city. So here we see church using the state in order to persecute those preaching the true gospel. I mean, the Jews had already done it in Jerusalem. They went right to Pilate, and Pilate conceded to their earnest demands. So we see church and state united there. But here's in a completely different place, and we still see church and state united.
Excellent point. And we know that that's a Babylonian fruit. When one goes to the false, please go ahead, sister. Hey, sis, would you like to go ahead? I think it was Sister Jean.
Sorry, I was trying to type in and I guess I didn't clear it from when I had spoken last. I was just saying, like, the devout and honorable women were probably married to the leaders of the city, and so they had great influence.
Yeah, they certainly weren't slow in an evil work, were they, to know how to raise a persecution and quash, if they could, the word getting out. My, well, thank you also, Elder Bob, for bringing that point out, which is clearly showing here the church and state not existing in a different country, that the Jews were exerting and using their power where they weren't established, through the communications and the organization and the relationship they obviously had as a synagogue. No doubt there was more than one synagogue that was bringing considerable amount of taxes, no doubt, to the area, and here's this power they have with the chief men of the city, the honorable women and devout women, all for the purpose of squashing the gospel from going forward. And notice how happy the disciples are in verse 52. Then they were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Who won? I think it was the disciples won. There's nothing worse than your heart condemning you when you knew to do right and you didn't do it. And it's even worse if you don't repent when you've realized you've done that. And it just mounts up and mounts up. But praise God. I mean, while you still have conviction of wrong, you can repent while it's there, while your salvation, your probation's not over. And there are so many opportunities yet for the dear souls in all the apostate organizations that exist today that is just waiting for them to rejoice in. And I'm glad that I'm one of them that left by God's grace. Praise the Lord. Well, is there anything else anyone would like to share before we go to chapter 4?
Just to build on the point you were sharing, dear brother, individuals can look at this as a defeat where the Jews use the state to prevent the gospel from being more fully shared there in that coastal region. But the disciples didn't look at it as a defeat. They were filled with joy, and the Holy Ghost was the cause of it. They were comforted that they had did all that they could at this point in time, and now God would bless their efforts. And so the seeds that were shared, although they wanted to share more but were prevented, those seeds would be carefully watched over by the Holy Spirit and would be watered at the proper time. So, you know, like when Christ was expelled from the coast over there in that one area, and the demoniac that he had healed wanted to go with him, and Christ says, no, go and share what good things God has done for you. That one individual became the greatest missionary in that area. The only missionary, in fact, but he became a very great missionary just sharing what God had done for him. And the next time Christ came over there, the whole city welcomed him. So, you know, we look at individuals rejecting our message with disappointment, and I think that's okay. But we can't dwell upon that disappointment, because that will then bring doubt in God's ability to multiply the efforts that we exerted in spreading the gospel. So if God can use the woman of Samaria to reach an entire town, and God could use that converted demoniac to reach an entire village, then God could use the few seeds that you were able to share to a great advantage in spreading of the gospel. So there's no reason to continue in being disappointed. There's every cause to rejoice because our God is almighty, and wondrous things can take place with just one seed cast into fertile soil. So our job is to sow the seeds. It's God's job to take those seeds and plant them into the good heart soil, or even into the wayward pathways. It just depends on how the individual that has come into contact with the truth receives it. But God takes over at that point. And that's every cause to rejoice about.
What a powerful testimony. And what a powerful testimony it is to us that we don't have to think that our lives are a waste when we seem to be having seemingly no success, when people might be raising some sort of persecution against us. You gotta love their attitude. I mean, they just get up and keep going. We'll be reading further on about Paul's attitude, especially when you're punched, you're kicked, you're stoned. Have any of us ever experienced that? And then they're so concerned about Paul, they come to him and he looked like he was dead. They killed him, you know. And he just gets up, takes the dust off his clothes, and let's go to the next city. You know? Wow. May the Holy Spirit work in us to have the same spirit of evangelism and missionary effort. You know, it's so true dedication, amen. And it's so important. I think you were mentioning, Elder Bob, preparing the heart soil. Like there's something, I know we're not the Holy Spirit and we can't force the Holy Spirit, but there's something we can do on our part to make it more appealing when we have people's attention, to show them that we actually do love them. And although, you know, they might accept the truth or not, we have a work to do to prepare them that we're not actually their enemy. We love them. And it's not a worldly love or a sentimentalism, but it's equivalent to our understanding of God's great love for us. And this is a growing thing for all of us. And we can, you know, we only have to review our own lives and think, oh, what did I do then when I had that opportunity? And what would I do now? And I don't know about you, but I often find that there's little changes or even big changes how I would approach it. Not just to be different, but because I could see perhaps there's a greater way of influencing on the side of right and having more faith through experience of the past. Good points, Elder Bob and sisters and brethren. Thank you for putting your texts and thoughts in. Amen, Sister Joan. God has many plans we don't know about. 1,000 ways that we don't have a clue about. Praise the Lord. And it's all for us. It's for the world at large, that no one be without a saving knowledge. And, you know, the majority of people did reject the gospel, but there was a minority that did accept it, even in the early Christian church. And that was success, because the Spirit of God was allowed to dwell in men, women, and children and do its work and converting souls. I mean, God could have just used angels. I mean, they're perfect. They never sinned. And oh, no, but he did an even better thing than that. Much better thing. He gave it, committed it to us who are just like everyone else, and to shew forth the praises of him who's brought us out of darkness, the darkness of sin, into his marvelous light, into his dear kingdom of his son. Would someone like to read verses 1 to 3 in chapter 14?
1 to 3 in chapter 14. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue, in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil affected to the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands.
Thank you, dear brother. Wow, how merciful of God to allow a long time in verse 3 to take place, even though the Gentiles were being stirred up by the unbelieving Jews. I'm so glad God knows what people are thinking and, you know, the prejudices and biases that men have the power to put by the power of the will upon men and women to close their eyes to the gospel. Here it was being preached to them. Look at them. They go straight to a next synagogue in Iconium. Off they go. You know, the word in unbelieving in verse 2 is number 544 in the Greek section of the Strong's Concordance, and it means not allow oneself to be persuaded, refuse or withhold belief, refuse belief and obedience. But these individuals went beyond just unbelief, didn't they? That didn't stop there. Unfortunately, I mean, it's a law of nature of humans that they either believe one way or the other, and so they only got fruits to produce one way or the other. And their fruit was, all right, I'm going to withhold my heart from accepting. And they go from that, they believe not, but they want to go beyond this, and they want to raise a persecution against them. We'll start shutting up the mouths that we don't like hearing the truth speaking in our own ears, and we don't want it to spread to others. Excuse me. You know, Christ brought out a point in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, where he said, he that is not against me is for me. Oh, sorry, I've got it mixed up. He that is not for us is against us. And Christ only in the revelation of Jesus Christ, we only have two options to choose from, life or death. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, isn't that obvious when you think about it? Like, there's no, if there were a middle ground, what would it be? Would it be the right or the wrong? But a middle ground is no middle ground just because it doesn't come under left or right, but it has to be for the wrong, because again, there you have to be afraid to share your faith. You have to be afraid to live it out to its full because you're afraid of what others might think. You're afraid of, you know, getting told off by perhaps a church leader or a church friend, church brother or sister. When you're told things that don't agree with, well, in this case, in this setting, it was the Jews in their synagogue. Yeah, amen, Sister Joan. The middle ground doesn't want to be involved. It's that lukewarmness, isn't it? It's a lukewarm. It's not cold. It's not hot either. Lukewarm. And so they know a lot. They certainly have truth presented to them because they know that they don't want to accept to reject it outright, but they don't want to accept it outright as well. So they figure a middle ground is a possible avenue to live in. Does anyone else have any thoughts about this?
You know, Christ mentioned in the scriptures, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." To look takes decision. So individuals can purposely close their eyes and refuse to look. That's one way. Another way is just to look everywhere else. Don't close your eyes per se, but don't look anywhere towards Christ. That would be like refusing to make a decision to look to Christ. And it's only those who decide and look to him that will be saved. So those who outright reject him are lost. Individuals recognize that. But those who refuse to look to him are also lost. So neutrality in a religious crisis is rejecting Christ. It's rejecting the truth. So, you know, a lot of people, as you say, look at Laodicea as something to be part of. But Laodicea is lukewarm. They take that neutral position. They refuse to be wholly on the devil's side, but they also keep themselves from being fully on the side of Christ. And because they refuse to be 100% for the Lord, God looks at that refusal, even though they don't serve the devil 100%, God looks at that refusal as rejection of Christ. So we can't ride the fence and be saved. We have to be 100% for Christ.
Amen. Amen. Solemn thoughts, solemn words. It just, it makes me, constantly all of us are called to stand for Christ or not. None of us claim to be saved until we're actually walking in the kingdom of heaven, you know, through the pearly gates. And then we can say, yay, we can actually say this with certainty. We are eternally saved. But until then, and praise the Lord, God doesn't want us to think that he doesn't want us there. Has he not got an interest in us? Absolutely. All the way through our earthly life, our pilgrimage. You know, in verse 3, oh, go right ahead, Sister Jo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted you to go ahead with what you were saying. It just struck me that the people want to be on the middle ground. Their mind is engaged by things of this world that keep them stupefied like a zombie. They can't make a decent, or they don't recognize what is truth and what isn't. They're just like in la-la land.
Amen. La-la land. I like that. I mean, I like the term. I don't like the position. Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, verse 3, in signs and wonders, I can just see some dear souls thinking, I mean, let me put this question to us all. We have signs and wonders following them, so that means that they had the truth. Or does it? Because our eyes and our ears aren't to be the only thing that we use to evaluate whether someone has the truth or not. I'm of the opinion that these were not the basis of faith that God was blessing, but evidence of the faith that these dear apostles had, because with it went their sanctified life before others and renouncing the ways of evil and the message of following Christ from the heart and giving this to the people, which was saving their life from sin. Which is what everyone needs in this world. If everyone, there's nothing the matter with holy living. And if everyone obeyed the Ten Commandments from the heart, believing in God, God's biddings being his enablings. And God, we know, we're told in the book of Titus that he never lies. This world would be a terribly attractive place. We'd want to live forever. We hear so many people wanting to take their life. They'll never want to do that. It's 9:53. Perhaps we might leave it here, but is there any closing thoughts, perhaps any prayer requests before we open up to a season of prayer, and perhaps any testimonies one likes to share before we open it to a season of prayer? Please feel free. I'd like to just share you a short testimony I just heard from my dear mum a day or two ago, that my brother, who was having issues with certain family members, including myself, it's come across that he's still happy to see family members. So that's really good, because he does have little children. Well, they're not little teenagers now, but I'm really hoping it'll even go beyond that, that he'll even start having his children a part of the wider family. And also, good news, I was blessed to finish another chapter. I think it's chapter 4 or 5 of The Abomination of Desolation in Church History. Oh, it was a big chapter. It almost went through 3 hours. But it's a lot longer because there's a lot of stop, pause, you know, preparation. So I'm so glad. And it was raining that day. It was starting to feel bad when it wasn't, but then it did. So I'm so glad. Probably one of the biggest chapters there was. So looking forward to much more. I think it's so exciting to have a part in, you know, making it easier for someone that might only listen to the truth preached to them, and maybe they die, but they heard it, and we pray they accepted it and saw the sheer deceptions practiced upon them by men who claim to be holy, pious, and they certainly look like it, but they were teaching the most dangerous heresies. My. Yes, Elder Bob, that's right. Maybe they cannot read due to poor eyesight. Amen. Indeed. Maybe they can't. Amen. Hallelujah. I think I need to do so many more. I was just sharing with Sister Lucy. You don't mind if I keep reading to you, sis? Is she still here? Yes. You don't mind if I keep reading to you more books, buddy? She's very helpful in directing me. Pronunciation and stresses. Well, what a fantastic testimony tonight, Brother Mosen. I think that tops it off for today. I mean, finding out. A very good editor as well. Amen. She is, Sister Lucy. Yes, she has editorial eyes. Very careful, keen. Is there any prayer request anyone has before we open up for a season of prayer? Please, if there is anything, let us know. I'm happy to open up in prayer. And anyone else? Silent prayer? Sure, absolutely, bro. Amen. They are so meaningful, silent prayer requests. You know, you might have so many, you've got to write them down. Because over time, they might not get answered immediately, but you can see them coming true as you continue to hold it up to the Lord. Willington's recovery. Oh, praise the Lord. I didn't know he had an issue. Yeah, praise the Lord. Great. Ah, okay. Thank you. He was in a car accident. Oh, I knew of Sister Amita, but this is obviously recent, Brother Willington. Oh, wow. I'll write this down. I'll just go.
Yeah, I sent you an email, bro, but I guess you didn't get it yet. But the email that I got, it was from Brother Mukinda's sister, I believe, is that he was hit by a police car, and it wasn't life-threatening, but he was in the hospital for 3 days, I think, or 4 days. He does have some head injury, and his hands have been injured, but it didn't go into detail as to the extent of head injuries. It may just be scrapes and bruises and so on. I'm not sure yet. But he is out of the hospital now, and he's due to go back for a follow-up visit tomorrow or maybe Friday. I know it's pretty soon. But anyway, it's in the email that I sent, and so just keep Brother Mukinda in prayer. And praise God, his life is spared.
Amen, bro. I don't know if the devil's behind this, but when you send me emails, for some reason, they don't seem to get to me. So I'm going to have to check my spam file and trash file. It's a bit odd because I've known you for years, and I can't. That's why I say it might be the devil. He's not interested in, don't have that communication. Thank you very much, and it's always good to hear that. The good news, Brother Willington. I know that I'm longing to give him something with the help of paying off for something that he's suggested, because it's such it's so difficult where he lives. And Sister Amita, who was in a car accident months ago. Well, let's open it up to a season of prayer. I'll start, and anyone who'd like to continue, please do so. I look forward to it. So let's, as far as you're able, let's bow our heads and our hearts and our knees, if possible, for prayer. Loving Father in heaven, thank you so much for the highest of honors that we have in being able to know the will of the infinite God, the true God, and of Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, and of the Holy Spirit sent to represent our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Spirit, for making Jesus Christ real to us, for showing us what he's really like, and continuing to show us. Please continue to lighten any darkness that we have, so that we can be brighter lights in this dark world that appears to just be getting darker and darker, and which we've been warned of will continue until the coming of the Lord. Thank you that we are one day closer to that event taking place, and by your grace, one day closer to being prepared, one moment closer to being prepared, should we be called, via death, to end our pilgrimage here. What a resurrection that will be, and we look forward to meeting those who have died in the faith. And thank you that there are multitudes that have been, and that will take the place of fallen angels, that we may have a part as well, and by your grace, no one take away a personal crown that you have prepared for those who love you. Thank you for the fantastic news of our dear brother Willington coming through with that car accident. It's so good to hear. I pray he so gets well to such an extent that he's back on his feet as quickly as possible. Thank you. It's only a short stay in hospital, and we pray any remuneration will not be difficult for him to get for the costs that are involved in taking care of his need. After being hit, it's awful being hit by anything but by a car. I've never experienced it, but I imagine it very much hurts, and especially the speed that it may have been traveling. Thank you so much for blessing my dear Auntie Maureen to know what condition she's got. That was in a bit of uncertainty, gallstones, and asked that you would help her know the best thing to do and whether it's the best thing to do, because it is involving an operation, and if there are any remedies available. I've been looking and searching and hoping that there'll be something that will convince her. I ask that you would help me and my brothers and sisters who have dear souls out there that they know are suffering from something. We all of us know at least one person suffering from some ailment, or perhaps it's a disease, or perhaps it's in the incurable basket. But if there's anything we can do to at least alleviate, that you would help us present it in such a way that it would be acceptable to these dear individuals, that they'll see that while we're not a doctor, we might not be a nurse, we might not have any medical formal education, but just like we might not have degrees or bachelors or bachelor of arts or doctorates in religion, it doesn't mean that we don't understand something of how the body works, or especially how salvation works according to thy word. And thank you for doing this. Also, and uphold our dear sisters and brethren in the Philippines, from Mindoro, Iloilo, Cebu, for August, that first of all, that they're so interested in continuing, like we've just been reading in the book of Acts, of the seriousness of the times, that they constantly just kept going forward regardless. They left the consequences with you. They really did leave them with you, as they realized that what they were going to share, and were impressed they must share, because it was a life or death message. They didn't care for the consequences, because it was your words they were giving. I pray that we too might experience this more in our life as we go forward and our brethren and sisters in preparing upcoming work, so that people would not be confused about the doctrine and see that it's with authority the Bible truths are given to them, and that we're not relying or giving possibilities but giving truths, a yes and amen in Christ Jesus instead of uncertainties, which only tend to distract and lead away and make it harder for someone to make a decision. Please help tax returns at this time at the end of the financial year efficiently and effectively be received and distributed as you will and as you would have used. I uphold the dear silent prayers of brethren and sisters and requests that you know better than we who offer them, we who it's for, that you would keep them alive in our minds and hearts, and that our needs would only increase, not decrease, so that we can see the salvation of God go before us like the children of Israel did at their difficulty at the Red Sea. And thank you for the good news and what it does for individuals. I received an email from PNG, and I thank you for the local churches, communities, worship, discipline and behaviour and dressing and the approach, the ministerial work such as hospitals, home visitation and Bible studies, branch Sabbath studies, singing ministries, community service, training, nature camps and retreat and evangelistic programs continuing to go forward and increase in efficiency. What a blessing. I pray that their efforts, their future efforts will be more than successful. The dear 16 souls that are being baptized will be vigorous and be a part of this work and be a part of that 40% of youth members that have chosen to become missionaries and leadership, choose to become involved in leadership roles in the churches, including preaching and Bible presentations. Please continue to be with those who are in the valley of decision, and those who are saying we want to give our heart to you and looking forward to baptism. Bless the brethren and sisters that are doing these Bible studies right around the world, and thank you for especially the last day lessons that Elder Bob and others have contributed to putting this so easy to understand fashion. And I pray that such individuals like my mum would not forget that it's being put in their pathway for them to fill out, to show their interest in the last day events, because God is not just the God of the past, but he tells us the future before it happens. So he is present because he knows the past, he knows the future, and it's all present to you, Lord. You're all powerful. Thank you very much for this privilege.
Dear Father in heaven, just thank you so much for being real to everyone that is seeking you, to know that you're the same today as you were yesterday, and you will continue to be the same. We ask that you especially hear the silent prayers that have gone up and comfort the person who prayed, letting them know that you heard their prayer and it is in your plan to do something about it. We're so thankful that there are so many ways that people can tell others about you, and that you gave us the Ten Commandments to show us how to love perfectly. And we ask too that our family here in this chat room and those that aren't present with us tonight will receive that special blessing and joy that comes from talking about you and remembering all of your different things you've done in life to bring peace. And we know that the peace that passes all understanding is not here on this earth, but you promised us that, and you've made a place where we can all live together and receive that peace that passes understanding. We ask these things in Jesus' name, that we start our day and end our day with Jesus in our hearts. Amen.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come together and study your word and fellowship together this Wednesday evening, though I was late. I have a special petition that you will lay your healing hand on Wellington, help his injuries to be minor, and him to get back on his feet and be able to continue his work for you. We don't understand how it could have happened, but according to his wife, it did happen. We're thankful that he wasn't hurt any worse. I don't know how the work is going on over in Africa, but Uganda, but you do, and we just pray that your holy angels will be with them to help share the good news of your coming. And may many of his fellow citizens be ready to meet you when you come. We thank you for your care and over us this week as we have run around and traveled and done different things. We haven't been hurt, and we thank you for that. I don't remember all the people who put in petitions, but you know who they are. And we just ask that you will take their situation into hand and give them the solution that's best for them. Forgive us for our sins and prepare us for your coming. When you come to our name in judgment, you won't have to say left. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we come before you this day, I want to dwell on the eternal truth that it is the Holy Spirit which transforms us and that makes available to us the salvation freely available to all because of the death on the cross of your Son Jesus. From the moment that we accept Christ into our lives, we become a new person, completely transformed. As the Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We become aware of these changes, Lord, aware of your living presence in our hearts as we endeavor to live up to our image of your dear Son. Please make us fully aware of just what this perfect image is, of the many ways we wish to emulate your Son. And as well as this awareness, please give us the knowledge and the understanding of how to accomplish this. It's not nearly enough to have a clear picture of our goal, but we must see equally clearly the path we must follow to attain this, the changes that must be wrought in our very character so that we might have the life, we might live the life that Christ would have us live. For some of us, these changes will be much greater than for others, depending on our upbringing and the influences around us. But no matter how great our need, how difficult this journey is, we do know that if we truly have faith, you will be guiding our every step. It's certainly not a journey we must embark on our own. We are very aware there is nothing that we can achieve through our own efforts, our own merits, for we have none other than those that are gifted to us through you. In closing this prayer, dear God, I wish to give special thanks that all of this is true, that we have you to guide us along this path to salvation as we mindfully live our transformed lives. We thank you for hearing our prayer, which we offer.
And amen. Thank you very much. It's so good to be, like you said, Brother Dick, to share shared prayer. Public prayer. It's a support. It's a support that God's designed to have for us to draw closer to Him and to one another. What a blessing. Is there any songs or testimonies anyone would like to share? Is there anything else perhaps that's on your mind or heart? Please feel free.
You mentioned something, Brother James, about Jesus being real, and it made me think of a song. Jesus is real to me. Jesus is real to me. For he lives in my heart. This world has no part. For Jesus is real to me.
I just want to share with you something that came to my mind and my heart when we read verse 52 in chapter 13, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Now, I guess we all hope we all know that feeling, but I'm mindful of two times in my life, only two, when I was overwhelmed with that joy. The first time being, I was 19, still at Teachers College, and I had just made my public stand for Christ in a large hall, in a convention, probably before the camp meeting, in a hillside village in Western Australia, and I was so overcome with the feeling. I mean, it was just wonderful. I was transported, lifted out of my soul. And the second time was 2015, I think, when Brother James and I went to Papua New Guinea to be rebaptized. And that same day, I had that same feeling. And it didn't just last the day. It lasted a long time. And thinking back on it almost transports me to the same level right now. But what a wonderful feeling that is. And we can just imagine how the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Thank you.
Amen, dear sister. And it's the joy that you get from the Lord is so vastly different than the joy you experience from anything in the world, including even the joy of family. The joy that God fills your heart with just can't be compared to anything else connected with this world. It's so satisfying. It's so filling. And you want more of it. And you can imagine, amen, past understanding, you can imagine what heaven is going to be like on an eternal basis. The next day is filled with greater joy than what you had the previous. We're still going to have days, but they're really not going to have much meaning as far as life, because life is everlasting. But from one day to the next day, to be happier than you were before, I mean, it's going to be a marvelous existence.
Good evening over there. I have a heard voice that I not wanted to talk. Can you hear me? Yes, I'd like to thank everybody first for your prayers, support that our brother Moses Mwebe was raised
exactly on 17th. It was miraculous that by 16th, the pastors from SDA Church who were complaining, were calling my number to get in touch with me so that we can close the file. We praise God for the first time to see a complainant calling us to meet at court, and they withdrew the charges against Moses. By 9:30 our local time, East African time, Moses was already at court, brought by a bus from prisons. And before he could go to the court chambers, we are moving to every office, the procession side and the magistrate side, the judge. So they all harmonized. Moses could not even stand in the court chambers, but paperwork worked, and then he was set free from the dock. We praise God. We couldn't expect this, because the police officers were hard on us. Why still that the police officers, one who was investigating the case and the one who arrested, were members of the SDA Church. So they thought they were giving a lesson, teaching them a lesson so that they can abandon the advance of the present truth. But instead, they were magnifying our efforts before their high officers and leaders of their church. So eventually when they were all reading the quotations in the tracts and booklets, they found themselves on the wrong, and then the pastor had to say, sorry, we didn't know, but sorry for what happened. We don't have any interest in the church. So we all became joyful. One, because all your prayers had worked, your support has worked. God was showing us that He's with us all the time, even the times when problems arise. We all rejoiced when we are joined by many of our brethren to receive Moses to go home a free man. I encourage my brethren that soon, probably before Christ comes, many more arrests may occur, but let's stand firm to advance the truth until Christ comes to take us home. Thank you so much for your efforts. We pray that we may continue to be united.
Amen. God is indeed good. And thank you, dear brother Joel, for the report. And also thank you, dear brother, for your ceaseless efforts at getting Brother Moses released. It is wonderful what God can do in blessing and multiplying our efforts to help one another. And I imagine Brother Moses is experiencing some of that joy. And what a testimony he must have.
Amen. I think we'd all like to hear from Brother Moses as well to top it off. Thank you, Brother Joel, for sharing, for giving us insight, and for your faithfulness and the part you've played. Wow. What a blessing. May the testimonies continue coming. God bless, Sister Lucy. Well, I put a song up. Abide with me. If anyone like to take a verse, just put your bubble up. Thought of this the other day. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the help.
Swift to its close and stop life's little day. Earth's dark grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. Oh, thou who changest not, abide with me.
I need thy presence every passing hour. What by thy grace can foil the tempter's power? Who like thyself my guide and stay can be? Through cloud and sunshine, oh, abide with me.
I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. I'll have no weight and 'tis no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me.
Thank you, brothers and sisters. It's so good to hear you all sing along and share the truth in song. I think we have a request, trust and obey. I'm having a little bit of a problem putting it in. I'm not sure why, but I didn't have a problem with the last one. But I'll work on that next time. But perhaps, Elder Bob, you might like to, if you've got it available and ready, you could put it in the room. I think the brother was, Brother Joel was requesting it. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear, can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
But we never can prove the delight of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows, for the joy He bestows, are for them who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Thank you so much for you all sharing in this song. It applies to all of us, and it's good news for us. God's biddings are his enablings. He wouldn't tell us something if we couldn't do it through Jesus. Hallelujah. That truth is never going to change. Well, it's been a privilege being with you, sharing insights in the subject of the book of Acts. I know we don't go far in the book, but it's so important to try to get every bit of information you can get. I think you'd all agree, especially when you're doing your own studies. Oh, thank you, Brother Bob. And thank you for making it so easy for us all to try and lead out today and tonight as the time is. Is there anything else anyone would like to share before we close the session? Please feel free. Of course, you can stay after I leave. I hope by God's grace to go out there. It's a bit sunny today, so it's looking pretty evangelical today.
Well, praise the Lord, bro, and we will indeed be keeping your evangelistic efforts in our prayers. And may God prepare the way and prepare the hearts and also protect you and guide you. And may an abundant harvest take place to his glory. So keep up the good work there, brother.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your support, encouragement, and prayers. Amen, Brother Joel. If you're in the southern hemisphere, you sure are getting brighter. It feels like a bit like Canada this morning, but not really. If you've ever seen Canada, it's bright, white, and, you know, everywhere's a freezer. You don't need freezers there. Oh, what a blessing. We saw Ida a little earlier on. She's not here, so maybe that's not a bad thing. She's in Canada. Bless her soul, Brother Vic. And a dear child, Janelle. Well, once again, thank you very much for the privilege, and I hope you have a blessed night's sleep, and Brother Joel, Sister Petwa, and the brethren and sisters during the day are guided just as much as those who are going to bed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, Brother Dick, there is snow down under, but it's in the eastern states. So there's been a record where it's happened here, you know, once in, you know, 100 years or something. Not where I live, but not far from where I live. Albany was one place. And so it's in the eastern states. It gets freezing over there to the point of snow. Yeah, I haven't seen snow yet, maybe one day. I know our brethren, Brother Laverne, Brother Sydney, Burita, they both live in the eastern states, and, you know, I often feel bad for them because, I mean, they come from the Philippines, and I feel like, oh, I just wish we were a bit closer, you know? So anyway, Lord willing, maybe we'll visit one another soon. Again. So thank you again. And I'd like to leave a scripture song with you. Do you live near Perth or Darwin? Oh, so I'm 50 kilometres out of Perth, so heading toward Kalgoorlie. So it's 50 k's out. What a blessing it is. So I don't mind being a bus driver. You drive in Perth, and then you go up the hill, but then you go even further out the hill. I'm 50 k's out, and it's a joy. It's country living. Quite a nuisance, eh? The snow. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm in a foothill. I call it a mountain. That's the closest I've ever seen to a mountain. You know, people laugh at me. This isn't a mountain, mate. It's a mound. But it's very pretty. Behold how good and how pleasant. For brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant. for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. Psalm 133 and verse 1. For brethren to dwell together.